In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On July 1st, 1523, in Brussels, two teenage boys were tied to a post and burned to death. They were the first Lutheran martyrs. People were now dying for this thing called the Reformation. The young boys were told by the authorities that they could recant their faith and their life would be spared. They said that they would rather die and be with their Christ. And so as they were tied and the fires were lit, they sang the ancient Te Deum. With this confession on their young lips, they left this life to go to the next, to be with their Christ. This Reformation was serious business. People who opposed it were willing to kill those who embraced it. What was at stake here? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, his work, his work of salvation for his dear bride, the church, was at stake in this 16th century battle. For men had redesigned the church according to their own plan. And it was a plan in which the law reigned. And what God had done for you was kept from you. Hidden was God's glorious work. Demanded was your pitiful work. For the church of the law withheld the very gifts of grace that it was the church's purpose to freely give. So people were miserable, and in their misery, they turned to their church for relief, and they found there more law, and therefore despair. Such a false church, acting as the church, is what the Reformation was about. And this was not the first or the last battle for the gospel. Such wars are ongoing, and they're fierce in a vicious kind of way because of what is at stake here. Satan knows that his time is short. And so if he can change the whole heart and the direction of the church inward toward man and his work, he will have displaced Christ. This is the craftiest thing Satan can do, because with it comes, of course, chaos and division in what is simply an organization that no longer has Christ at its center. Satan knows that Romans 3:20 is true. No human being will be justified in God's sight by the works of the law. He knows it. Yet if he can get men to design a church where they will virtually suffocate themselves with the law, he'll do it. Listen to Luther talk about how Satan confounds the church. He says, Those who mix the law with the gospel are topplers of the gospel. Either Christ remains and the law falls, or the law remains and the gospel falls. For Christ and the law cannot reign and be the Lord in the conscience one with another. One must wipe out the other and have its place. Why was the Reformation necessary? To let the gospel again shine in the very place that God had designed to hold it, to teach it, to offer it, His church. That's what the church is about. Christ Church doesn't hide His greatest gifts when the children come hungry to receive. So God Himself answered the need for reform by giving His church a Martin Luther, one who would return to that foolish preaching of a cross, of Christ, of forgiveness. Martin Luther returned to the saving doctrine of gospel, that totally gracious activity on God's part toward us, for he had come to see firsthand that all else is night, is darkness, is deception, for the individual and for the church. So the Reformation was a turning on of the lights, bright floodlights of gospel. It was a sunny dawn about gifts, divine gifts. God's activity, what He has finished, what He died to win and freely be able to give to you. And it has nothing to do with deserving or earning. In fact, it has to do with gifts in spite of what is deserved. If you're sitting there quite comfortably thinking that I'm only talking about some interesting historical problem for the church, then I have to tell you that the need for a reformation is ongoing in the church and in us. Satan is still confounding law and gospel. He's still a master at getting us to mix up God's part and our part. And what is especially troublesome about this diabolical activity is it's not out there. It's in here. It's in the church. And it's in here. But do not despair, O baptized child of God. For we have not been left defenseless. That world's prince, Satan, may scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none. Because Christ is by our side with his good gifts and his spirit. Gifts and the spirit that point us to him, that give us him, that fill us up with him. In fact, our baptismal life is one unending feast of these gracious gifts. We have all that we need for membership in this church militant, and we already know the outcome of the battle. The kingdom is ours. I looked over some of the collects and hymns of the reformers, And I found an amazing consistency in what is prayed there. Again and again, these men in the middle of the battle prayed for a steadfastness and a faithfulness to the truth of the gospel. For example, Luther taught children to pray this little prayer: Lord, keep us in thy word and work. Restrain the murderous Pope and Turk, who fain would tear from off thy throne Christ Jesus, thy beloved Son. Later translators gave us the tame version that we're going to sing in a few moments, but that hymn too prays for steadfastness. Nicholas Selnecker had the church pray this in the days soon after Luther died. In these last days of sore distress, grant us, dear Lord, true steadfastness, that pure we keep till life is spent by holy word and sacrament. And one of the most profound and eloquent collects from this period is by Philip Melanchthon. It prays for confidence to the one who is in absolute control of his church. Confidence to the one who will ultimately lead the church militant, who are sometimes murdered teenagers, on safely into his church triumphant. This is Melanchthon's collect. Let us pray it. Eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we beseech you for the sake of thy Son to guide the minds of those who teach and those who learn, that the one true everlasting message of the gospel may prevail, that thy universal church may be kept safe at all times and effectively give voice to thy gospel, that multitudes may be turned to thee and worship thee and become heirs of eternal salvation. This we ask through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.